D'Antoni described this performance as a team as soft.
He's right.
Find a way to make game four close and find a way to steal it. So if they do that, I would feel stupid for crushing them on this morning. What's the difference between them losing 41 versus losing by, let's say, 13 points?
If you had to go Tonya Harding on one Warriors player, would it be Durant or Steph Curry?
That's a weird question.
Play soft, actually.
So my thing is, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to crush them this morning? I need to watch these games, and I wish there was like a hologram, because I want to know how every team in the league would have played against Golden State last night. Seriously, I don't know. I'm serious. I do not know what the answer is.
Who the hell cares?
I spent a lot of time, good morning, I spent a lot of time thinking about my initial reaction to Game 3. A lot of time. On Monday.
What, yesterday after
through.
The show?
Yep.
You're trying to think, like, how did I come in and I wanted, like, what I got yesterday, 24 hours ago, was that you were ready and willing to excuse any loss at all. Like, you would have excused a 78-point loss because you're bowing down to the magnificence of the Golden State Warriors. And that somehow, the Houston Rockets, with their incredible regular season win totals, were somehow it would have been okay for the Houston Rockets to play as well as the Atlanta Hawks or the Orlando Magic or the Chicago Bulls versus the Golden State Warriors. That's what I got. That you somehow thought, like, well, what are you going to do? You know what it was? You acted like you had just witnessed a wrestling match between Barney Fife and God. Like, okay, well, what are you going to do? Barney Fife can't beat God. God's undefeated in wrestling matches. Greco-Roman freestyle, he doesn't care. That's what you did. I was disgusted by it.
I was tracking all the opinions on the station on the Rockets and how negative people were. So you were pretty negative. Lopez was. Sean was. Gallant definitely was.
Yeah.
I was more, I think me and Rich Lord were in the same sort of general position.
That's the sense I got. I didn't listen to Rich Lord at all yesterday, so I don't know what I could tell you. Actually, I listened to them. They were talking about a Springsteen concert he had gone to. This was actually interesting to me. Don't shake your head like that, Landry.
Recently?
He was, it was a while back. He and a bunch of his buddies were going to a Springsteen concert, and they didn't know who any of the opening acts were, so they didn't bother going in. And the opening acts ended up being like Smashing Pumpkins, a band that will be giving away tickets at 9 a.m.
9 o'clock.
And two other studly bands. I can't even remember. Let's say it was like Red Hot Chili Peppers or something. So he just missed out on that opportunity to go in.
All right. Here's what I blame as I think about it 24 hours, basically in reverse, what happened Monday morning. I blame Kevin Durant because I sat here a year and a half ago when Kevin Durant signed with the Warriors. And my thought was, well, nobody's going to beat this team. They just won 73 games. And yeah, they lost in the finals to the Cleveland Cavaliers. But realistically, they lost in the finals because Curry wasn't that healthy and because Draymond Green missed the game.
Right.
If any of those two things hadn't happened, I think they would be going on their third straight championship. Although, I don't know if Durant would have joined a championship team, but that's not a here nor there. So, Durant going to Golden State, our initial reaction to that a year and a half ago in the summer was, well, I don't think anybody's going to beat this team. I don't think anybody's going to compete with this team. So in a sense, maybe I just have like a sports fan demoralization over the Warriors in that I enjoy watching basketball. I enjoy the playoffs, even though they haven't been very good so far this year. I'm actually looking forward to game number four. But ultimately, when it comes really right down to it, this Warriors team has not been tested. And I want the Rockets to give them a test.
Right.
But my whole thing that I kept thinking about Monday throughout the morning, afternoon, all that is, I sat in this seat a year and a half ago when Kevin Durant signed with him, and I thought nobody would beat them for a while. What's changed? Nothing has really changed since that day.
This is what's changed, Mike. This is what's changed, is that your ability to think that a 41-point loss is just as bad as a 12-point loss. Here's the difference between a 41-point loss and a 12-point loss. You can win a 12-point loss. Like, there's a conceivable chance that especially a team like the Rockets could have stolen one. If they had maintained a 12-point margin till the end of the game, the Rockets are always have the ability to steal that win. Even though they get outplayed the entire game, or at least for the second and third quarters, they could have stolen that victory. So there's that. And then there's a cumulative effect of James Harden-led teams now owning the top two franchise blowouts in Rockets playoff history. 2 years in a row now, you've set records for how much you've lost by to the San Antonio Spurs and then the Golden State Warriors. So, obviously, Game 6 last year was a closeout game, and that was a lot worse. But there's this, too. I think it's too easy to just dismiss a Golden State run as like, well, that's what they do. Go back to that third quarter and watch how Steph Curry got it started there with about 6 minutes or so left. It was layups. It was easy, uncontested baskets at the rim. It was just the Rockets not paying attention. This was not Steph Curry making contested three after contested three after contested three, even though he did do that. It was largely a matter of the Rockets just not being dialed in and physically there. So look, do I think that the Rockets are abject failures if they don't beat the Warriors? Of course not. It's a huge challenge, but I want them to slug it out with the Warriors. I want them to show and look like they actually give a damn and care. And I didn't necessarily get that sense. I saw you talk about, all right, hey, you're going to switch everything. Can you switch aggressively and with vigor? Can you do that instead of kind of like, oh, I guess I got Steph Curry. And, oh, there he goes. Look at that. Look at how fast Steph Curry gets rid of the ball. That's all I'm asking.
I agree about the 41. Again, obviously losing by 41 points is not acceptable. But part of the tough thing is Sunday night was not like a football game. It's not like you have, you know, here's a big week one matchup against the Patriots and here is the game. For me, the way I was looking at these games is two games. I want to know what happens in the two games.
Yeah.
And so my thought going into these games was, I think one game the Warriors are likely going to cruise by some amount of points. I didn't think it would be 41 points, obviously. And I thought in the other game, the Rockets need to force a chance to win in the fourth quarter and find a way to steal a win.
Yeah.
So it's hard to analyze it when it's just like the one game, when like the whole goal of this whole series is get it to 2-2.
Uh-huh.
That's the whole goal.
Right, right. Okay,
like, so Monday morning. So I'm going to feel like a moron, honestly.
Why?
I'm going to feel like a moron if I crush the team Monday, and then they come out, and then they win game four. Seriously.
I am literally, for the listeners that can't see me, I'm literally pulling my hair out right now. Not successfully. I'm tugging at my hair. Mike, what part of reacting to an embarrassing loss also simultaneously has to predict that they can't win game four? Like, what part because, of saying, like, because, you guys played awful on Sunday night, that because saying here, they
because
played...
Here, because here's why. Nick Wright sat in that seat in 2015, and he said, hey, if the Texans don't fire O'Brien and everybody else, they're going to regret it a year and a half later. They still have the same coaches. We crushed them after that awful performance in Miami, and that game ended up not mattering bit. They went to the playoffs that year. John Lopez sat right here
after
week two of that year, and he said, hey, 0-2, the season's over. They're not making the playoffs. They made the playoffs.
We've got
they
some.
Made the playoffs.
I know. I feel like you didn't hear a single thing I just said.
I'm listening.
We've got some logical disconnect here.
I know.
Do
what
you
you're
understand?
Saying.
It's okay to crush an individual performance.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that you're saying the Rockets can't win another game, or that Mike D'Antoni needs to leave, or that James Harden is trash. Like, it's okay to crush an individual performance. That's what you do. Unless otherwise, like, honestly, I don't know where. Unless you're a professional gambler, why you would even watch sports if you don't get elated with the highs and get demoralized with the lows. There's no part of you that has to sit up here and be like, yeah, like I'll go back to coaches. Look, think of, because everybody writes a book about how they want to keep an even keel and do all this and everything. Look at Steve Kerr. Oh, he's got the mental side. Steve Kerr flips out and loses it and gets more technicals than anybody else out there. Do you think Steve Kerr, after bad performances, is sitting in there with the Warriors, the best team we've seen in decades, and just sits there and is like, well, hey, get him next
but
time.
But he's the coach.
I don't want to get upset with you.
He's the coach.
You are like in an existential crisis in terms of your sports fandom. If you think that you can't sit there and get upset about an embarrassing loss.
No, that's not true, though, because I need to see...
I don't understand the analogy you just made with Nick Wright. We're calling for all the coaches
because
and the GMs to get fired is the same as getting upset about a bad loss.
Because I don't want to be the overreactionary guy. I can be wrong. I've been wrong 1,000 times, but what I don't want to be is overreacting to every last thing that happened. I don't. Like, that's not what I want to be. That's not what I want to be in this
I understand that. I understand that. And frankly, like, Steph, I think it feels a little bit snobbish compared to, like,
okay,
you lost 41. It was a 41-point loss.
I get that. But there are certain things that ended up not mattering at all that I still get upset about. For example, the Wildcat play still pisses me off. The Texans starting Tom Savage in week one against Jacksonville pisses me off because it makes no logical sense to me.
Uh-huh.
I just view game three differently. Like, maybe it's the fact that Durant going there has demoralized me because I think this team is so damamn great. I mean, I'm sitting here in like Tim Bontemps, who we just played at the top of the hour in our intro here. Bontemps is sitting there at 9:15 yesterday, and he's like, I got to be honest with you guys. I think the whole thing in this series is whether the Warriors care. That they care in game one, they care in game three, and that's basically it.
Yeah, it was brilliant analysis.
Like that, but that's what a lot of these smart NBA people think.
Yeah.
That basically all it comes down to this season, not just in this series against the Rockets, but from game one
in any,
to game
in any
like
particular, if they decide to turn it on.
Yeah.
They turn it.
I
understand and get that. But Mike, this is the difference between 41-point loss and 12-point loss. It's simply this, and it's these things are independent of which team you're playing. The turnovers, the Rockets' turnovers were not generally like, oh, wow, he had to make a pass, and it was into a maelstrom of Warriors defenders. Like, it was sloppy, lazy passing. They got out-rebounded, and it was not because the Warriors had such a ridiculously vicious effort rebounding the ball. They didn't finish at the rim. You can credit the Warriors and Draymond Green for making things very congested near the rim, I suppose, and then maybe blaming dumb luck for that. But the things that lead to a 41-point loss compared to a 12-point loss, it's justifiable to get upset about those things. And what it turns into is, yes, okay, maybe this is a battle of who's more plugged in and dialed in any given game. You know what? The Rockets have lost that 2 out of the 3 performances. So unless they are plugged in and dialed in this evening, and that's the most damning indictment. If you want to actually really worry about where and how far this team can go with James Harden as its leader, because who knows what the hell's going to happen in this offseason. It's going to be very hard to keep this group together and also try to simultaneously make it better. Who knows where the hell you're going to go with it?
And that's a big problem.
But if the core issue with this team and James Harden specifically is that your team doesn't have a spine or a backbone, you got big problems. Like, you got huge, huge problems there. And that's endemic. That's something that comes with 41-point losses 1 year, 39-point losses in a closeout game the year before.
I really wish I was on the air for the post-game 6 last year, because trust me, I'm still pissed off about that performance, because you cannot justify, obviously, losing by 30. But that was an elimination game. That was at home, and there was no Kawhi Leonard. All factors that were not in existence on Sunday. You know who I blame? I blame the NBA for scheduling only one game. If we had done a Friday and Sunday, then we could have come in Monday morning having 2 games of a sample size. Having 2 games on the West Coast.
Oh, okay.
And then we could have reacted to 2 games instead of just 1. So that's who I blame.
Last year or this year? This year?
This year, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, this year's right now.
I don't know. Now we're back into a one day off routine. Some people are arguing that'll be better for the Rockets. I don't quite get it. I didn't read those articles. I just saw the headlines.
Let's do this. Let's do a listener vote. We need to figure out which playoff take was worse. Was it my take Monday morning coming off the Game 3 shellacking at the hands of the Warriors? Or was it Cody Stutes? Let's set it up. So the Cody Stutes, this was after the NBA Finals came to an end last year, when I'm pretty sure this is when the Warriors actually won the championship over the Cavs in 5. And here is what happened towards the end of our program that next morning. We'll acquire that in a moment here. But things did not go. All right, here we go. Here's Cody Stutes after Game 5 NBA Finals last year. Cody Stutes joins us in studio. Hello, Cody.
Hello, Michael. Hello, Seth. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Without trying to get into what you're going to say on your show, did you have any like specific impressions from last night you would like to discuss, leave us with, etc.?
About the NBA Finals?
Yes, about the Finals.
It was fun.
It was fun?
Yeah.
It was fun.
It was fun.
Okay, so that's number one. Cody said it was fun. And then here was my take coming off of Game 3. On Monday morning. So my thing is, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to crush them this morning?
Yeah,
because I can't,
of course, yes!
But I can't. What I can't figure out is, I need to watch these games, and I wish there was like a hologram, because I want to know how every team in the league would have played against Golden State last night. Seriously, I want to know how every other team in the league would have played Golden State, because I don't know what the answer is. I don't know. I'm serious. I do not know what the answer is.
Who the hell cares?
What if they would have beaten everybody by 40 last night? Is that not possible?
Okay, so this is the issue, and I'm going to boil this down for you right now. I'll make an analogy. You tried to make a Nick Wright analogy. I'm going to make this analogy. There are certain things you need to do in your job as a radio host. Yes. Maybe you and Cody don't like those things. Maybe you think they're beneath you. Maybe that's not the problem.
It's not beneath you. You're implying beneath.
Let me get to my analogy.
Go ahead.
If a prostitute walks into the brothel and one day says, you know what? I don't like sleeping with people for money. You got problems with your job there at that point. This is like a, it's fine to have that moral reason. Like maybe she had the coming, maybe she had the awakening moment where you're like, oh, you know what? This isn't the best job in the world. Maybe it's time for me to leave it. But you've got a serious issue when you and Cody just don't want to have opinions about a thing.
Okay. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
My opinion is I don't think Game 3 is a big deal. That's my opinion. Like, you can...
But your opinion is that you expect the Rockets to show up
absolutely.
And not get lose by 41 points tonight.
Of course.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Okay,
so now if they lost by 41 points
then,
after Game 4...
Then I don't know.
But I don't know. What do I do without my hologram? Okay.
Again, it's simple. They play two games. Their job is to win one. Their job is to win one game. They've lost one. Their job is to win one game on the road. If they win one game tonight, they have done their job. That's what I'm telling you.
If they lose by a substantial margin,
then we will crush them. I will crush them.
Okay.
What I am telling you is I don't think Game 3 is a big deal. Now, it might end up being a big deal based on what happens tonight, but that is what I am telling you. That is my opinion.
Not if they lose. I'm not expecting to look. If it's a hard-fought loss and they lose on a buzzer beater or something, I get it. But if they get crushed.
If they get crushed, I will crush them.
You promise you'll be appropriately upset.
Absolutely.
But based on this, like, let's say that the Texans lose week two to the Titans in 2018. Let's say they get their ass kicked by Mike Vrabel, and we're talking bad about the Texans. Are you not going to rip the Texans for a bad performance because they might possibly rally and make the playoffs later in the season? That's my confusion here.
Here's the thing, though. But that's one game, and I will criticize them depending on what happens in that situation. But that's one game. I view this series as two games in Oakland find a way to win one. And we find ourselves in the middle of this
whole thing. So one game in this seven-game series is like losing half of a quarter of a football game.
Or it's like losing a half.
Basically, they lost game three, which is like losing the first half of the second quarter of a football game. So midway through, with 7.5 minutes left in the second quarter of a football game, you're like, oh, well, look, they got to get it going. They got to pick it up. Okay. I think I got it.
Okay. I think we're on the same page here. Even we might disagree on our pages, but I think we're on the generally same page.
We're on the page of me quitting because we got to go to break.
All right. Here we go. I will pump up the Rockets for game number four. And when is Clowney going to get a new contract? Mike and Seth on a fiery Tuesday matter.